First things first. Sorry if I get too incoherent at any point here. I'm trying to bang my account of things out as fast as possible, and I'm under a lot of pressure. My headache's getting worse. But typing makes it feel better, weirdly. Feels right. So that's what I'm gonna do. Just as long as I'm capable. And when I'm done, I'm gonna hit send. And if my internet comes back and this gets posted, then at the very least, maybe someone out there will hear this and they'll learn from it. They'll learn from my mistakes. God, my head hurts. Okay. Okay, focus. Here we go. I took that video. The one of the UFO. Maybe 3 weeks ago. I had work off and I was getting a pretty great day drinking garage beer and fishing up at Goosehead. Goosehead is a lake. A reservoir, I guess. You don't get many lakes in Arizona. Well, I was packing up at dusk, and it was a cloudless day. Great weather. I had the dock all to myself. I took a second to drink it in before I stepped into my car to head home, and that was when I noticed the UFO. And when I say UFO, I mean that, like, literally. Like, an unidentified flying object, because that's literally all I can figure out about it. It was an object, and probably, it was flying, and I'm sure as hell I couldn't identify it. But it was like, but it wasn't like one of those classic saucers with the blinky lights and the tractor beam, the spooky techno sound effects. It was more like a single glowing shard sitting totally still a few hundred feet up above the far end of the lake. Still in that it wasn't moving up and down or side to side. The thing itself, though, it was jittering without moving. It was like, maybe I'd be able to whip up a good analogy if I didn't currently feel like I had an ice pick shoved through my eye. Migraines make for real ineffective writer's block. The best way I can think to describe it is that the UFO, it would be a triangle shape one moment, and then a sphere the next, and then a horseshoe shape, and then a spiral. But it was all those things at once. I'm sorry if that doesn't make any sense. I'd post the video I took, but, well, I don't have that anymore, obviously. I know that sounds like a cop-out, but I did take a video. My phone was on low storage, so I could only manage, like, 30 seconds of footage, but I got it! Didn't really do the thing justice, though. Like, have you ever tried to take a photo of the moon? You know, like, one night the moon's just really, really big, and it looks awesome in person, and you think, man, that'd make a cool wallpaper. So you snap a pic with your phone, but no matter what angle you get or what settings you use, the moon in your photo just looks like a speck. It was like that. A cool video of a glowing speck in the sky. That UFO disappeared, just sort of blinked away after I finished filming it. And I was left with a pretty useless 20-second clip. And a fun story to tell. It didn't even occur to me to send the video to the news or anything. I wasn't even convinced that I'd seen anything that extraordinary. Like, if you told me that what I'd seen had been some sort of optical illusion, some weird interaction between the sun and the clouds, or a weather balloon, or I don't know, like swamp gas, I would have believed you. I promise. I would have. I posted the video on Instagram. Well, that was probably my big mistake, posting it publicly. I don't know. I feel like I've seen something kind of special. And living in such a small town, I didn't feel comfortable bringing the video to the news or anything. I thought this would just be a cool little video for my family and friends. Nothing more, I swear to God. So I posted it. I drove home and I went to bed, and I woke up to find that the video had exactly zero likes. Just as many comments. That was surprising. I mean, I'm not an influencer or anything, but I've never had a post get so little attention And more than that, though, the rejection stung. So I just sort of quietly deleted the post and went on with my life. Didn't think anything of it. Now, a week later, I'm watching TV at home, and my brain sort of goes fuzzy. It's like deja vu, kind of. With the feeling you get in a dream when you know what's going to happen before it does. You know, dream logic. The feeling settles onto me, and in a few seconds, I was up off the couch. I was heading to the door as if the doorbell had just rung. It hadn't. See, my house was silent. But in the moment, I didn't think that little detail even crossed my mind. I opened the door to find... Sorry. This headache just flared up real bad. Had to take a sec. I opened the door to find... I just realized I never got the guy's name. I don't know if he had one. I mean, for the sake of the story, I guess I'll call him Tall. Okay? Because that's the very first word that came to mind. The figure standing stooped on my porch was easily the tallest man I'd ever seen. Probably close to 6'10", maybe more. I couldn't get much of a sense of what his body looked like. He was all bundled up in what had to be 3 or 4 layers of coats and sweaters, but even then, I could tell that his proportions were off. His legs, they didn't go nearly high enough. His shoulders were too narrow. His eyes... Ugh. Ugh. God, headache again. Tall didn't have any hair. That was the second thing that struck me about him. No eyebrows, no eyelashes. His lips weren't... they weren't lip-shaped. It was like... Instead of the usual tapering, the half-moon curve most people's lips have, his were like a perfect uniform border of red skin circling a tiny little slit of a mouth. Only color on his otherwise white face. It smelled like antifreeze. Okay, so I noticed all these things about him. I know I did. I remembered noticing them, and I also remember a tiny, logical, terrified part of me sounding alarm bells. But all the weird details about his body fit the dream logic that I was currently wrapped up in. And that suffocating feeling of deja vu drowned out the part of me that knew better. So when he asked to come in, his voice high and reedy and all in one breath, I stepped politely back and I let him in without hesitation. He didn't take off his coat or his shoes. He paced directly into my direction and started rummaging around my cabinets until he found a cup. Started filling the cup in my sink and turned to me, his slit mouth wrangled in a sort of smile. He asked me if I knew who he was. I answered honestly. I said no. He asked me if I knew why he was here. I took a bleary, hazy sort of guess and said that maybe it had to do with a video I took. He nodded. I asked if he was from the government. He laughed without opening his mouth, actually. He asked me if I was scared. Now, for some reason, I couldn't figure out what that question even meant, and I blinked, struggling. He nodded at that, looking satisfied, and then he offered me a glass of water in his hand. Told me to drink it. The water was a murky gray. I remember seeing him add anything to it, but it clearly wasn't water anymore. When I lifted the drink to my lips, I took a sip, got a whiff of that antifreeze smell. It was so strong and acrid that it made my eyes water. In fact, that smell was so bad it sort of jostled me out of my weird, almost trance, and I spasmed and I dropped the glass. He didn't flinch when the cup shattered on the floor. He just squinted at me and he hummed in the unexpectedly deep noise that couldn't have meant anything. Just as suddenly, it left. The deja vu feeling was back and I started shaking. The voice in my head, the one that tells me to scream or fight or run, it went away. And, I just stared blankly at the mess on my floor. He asked me for my phone. I reached into my pocket and I handed it to him. He asked me if I had sent the video that I took to the news. I told him that I was planning on it, but I hadn't yet. He asked me if I told anyone in person. A little spike of worry managed to pierce the fog in my brain. And I stammered, trying to keep my answer in, and after what must have been 10 seconds of choking and sputtering, I said that I'd told some of my family. Well, I met them for dinner that weekend. He asked who. Specifically. And what their addresses were. Again, that fog lifted as adrenaline and fear shot through my heart. I wrestled with the answer for maybe 5 minutes, but I won out in the end. I clamped my hands over my mouth, I stuffed my fingers onto my tongue, and I kept quiet. I don't remember him leaving. So I woke up the next morning on my couch. I quickly attributed the memory to being a weird dream, even as I swept the broken glass from my kitchen floor and searched my house for my suddenly missing phone. I never once questioned that I dreamt the whole thing. I don't think I could have thought otherwise if I tried. 2 days later, I woke up to find Tall crouched next to my bed. I screamed, obviously, at the sight of the stretched-out figure folding into a stooped squat at my bedside, his horrible, bloodless face looming down over mine, a flask of that gray liquid in his outstretched hand near my lips. I swatted the flask out of his hand before that deja vu swept back in again, smothering my fear like a blanket. It only took a few seconds before I was just laying on my back, blinking patiently up at him. He asked me again who I told, where they lived. I said that my father lives on... God, Jesus, migraine making is hard. I'm gonna have to stop soon. So I stuffed my pillow into my mouth to keep from answering. And all of a sudden, it was dawn. I had memories of another weird dream to keep me occupied while I was cleaning up the dark gray stain out of my carpet. Oh. I thought the whole ordeal would be over by today. Nearly 2 weeks had passed, and I'd nearly forgotten all about it. But then I took a step out of my lunch break at work this morning, and I just as I was rounding the corner towards the parking lot, that deja vu feeling hit me like a truck, almost bowling me over. It was so strong. I froze, reeling, and a reedy voice from just behind me told me to pinch my nose closed. Unable to even begin to question the order, I did it. Then it told me to turn around, and I did. Then another flask was being pushed into my mouth, forcefully enough to crack against my teeth, and a plastic hard hand was grabbing at my hair, yanking my head back, and all it took was one surprised, strangled gulp in my mouth and throat were burning as that antifreeze smell became an antifreeze taste. Tall clapped one of his cold hands in my mouth until I swallowed the whole drink, and then he was gone. I didn't fall asleep this time, though. No, this time I got in my car, I drove straight home, and then once the deja vu wore off, the first twinges of a headache started. See, I began to panic. I picked up my new phone, thinking that I should probably call an ambulance, probably get my stomach pumped before anything, but all I got was a busy signal. I tried over and over again to call the police. My dad who lives in Woodland. My mom. I tried to text someone. None of those went through. I tried to physically leave my house to run into the direction of town, but there were all these men parked outside, these normal-looking men in suits, and each time they just sort of grabbed me, and the deja vu comes back, and I'm suddenly back inside. Finally, I figured out that although my internet's out, I have an old blog with a plugin installed that will auto-update when I make a post in a folder on my Google Docs, and I can do that in offline mode. I've made it this far. Although my vision's blotted with pain and my head is completely on fire, I haven't been knocked out yet. So at the moment, I think my best course of action is to post this publicly, to tell the nice man where my family, tell the man where my family lives. Hopefully get the word out about what's going on, where I am, to maybe get help. I mean, so please, if anyone can hear this, my name is Todd Jacobs. Todd Jacobs, you could find my address. My father lives in Woodland. Dave, my sister lives on Doctor Street. My mother lives on Canyon Avenue. Please don't hurt them. I love them. They're the only ones. I swear And my phone number in the About section is on the blog, so please, if anyone can come find me and take me to the hospital, I really think I need to go. And if on the way you see a light in the sky, for the love of God, don't look at it. Ugh. I feel like my head's gonna explode.